songs with you, worship the Lord. I felt the presence of God. I know God is really in the midst of us. I thank the pastor for allowing me to speak because I studied English in the university. Yeah. And I very seldom travel abroad. Now, but I've been interpreting for foreign missionaries, pastors, including Dr. Jack Hayward. I interpreted for him when he first came to Indonesia. And I pray to God that he will make you understand what I'm trying to say, because this is not my language. My language is Indonesian. But I pray to God that you will understand what I'm trying to convey. I am a husband of one wife, of course. My wife's name is Jane, and I have three children. The eldest is a daughter and two sons. Praise God. I am pastoring a church in Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia, and I am the secretary of the Provincial Board of Pentecostal Church of Indonesia. We have over 1,000 congregations in Jakarta, and of which I am the secretary of the board. Because in Indonesia, the Pentecostal Church of Indonesia, we have the at the central level, the central board. And we have in the provinces the so-called provincial board. And Jakarta is a province, treated as a province. And I'm the secretary of the provincial board. I thank God for the opportunity of being in the United States. You know, everybody wants to come to this country. I don't know why. You know, because this country has been known to be number one in almost everything, practically everything, technology, you know, probably spirituality also, because Pentecostal Church in Indonesia was born because two missionaries from Washington, Seattle, Washington, came to Indonesia almost, I think, 90 years ago. They brought the gospel to Indonesia. The name of the evangelists, Van Claveren and Roosbeek, and they started building churches in Indonesia, and it's grown to over 12,000 congregations now. Yeah, 12,000 congregations all over Indonesia. Yeah, and we thank the Lord for the Americans. Yeah, we never thank enough. So when we come to America, we feel something, you know. We thank God for that. And I came to Seattle because my friend invited me to speak on the occasion of the grand opening of a new branch there. And the Lord, you know, opened the way for me. So I was 1 week there, 1 week in Arizona, and several days here, and I'll be flying east to Boston. And from Boston, I'll go back to Indonesia via Seattle also. I don't want to speak much about myself. I will deliver the message today. Again, thanks, Pastor. Yeah. Pastor Jones. Yeah. Thanks so much. Let's open our Bible and turn to the Word of God. Today, I am going to start reading from the Book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. In Indonesian churches, we always stand when we read the scriptures. I don't know whether you are used to standing here or you... Yeah, please, yeah. Let us stand and we read the scripture. Romans 12, verse 1, that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants us to present our life, our whole life to Him. Our bodies. Because these bodies harbors the mind, our will, our emotion, everything. We harbor even the Holy Spirit in us. And God wants us to present our whole body to Him. Everything that we have to give to God, to present to God. In the Bible, there are three times, especially in the New Testament, three times where God the Father said of Jesus that His Son is well pleased. Whatever He does is well pleasing to God the Father. It is important that what we do to God is well pleasing to Him. Just like Jesus was well pleased to God the Father. God expects us to sacrifice, to give to the Lord the best that we have so that it will be pleasing to Him in the same way. Praise the Lord. So three times. We remember when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus was sinless. Jesus is God. Jesus is the same as the Father, the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is holy. He is sinless. No flaws in Him. But Jesus had to undergo baptism because He wants to show the way. He's the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He has to be baptized. And when He rose from the water baptism, there was a voice coming from heaven that said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Why God is well pleased? Because He did exactly the righteous. The right thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am trying hard to communicate. So, Jesus' life was well pleased in the sight of God the Father. Because He did the right thing. Praise the Lord. And in the same way, we have to do the right thing also. Because heavens and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. It standeth forever. It remains forever. And we thank God for the instructions for the word of God. And our part is to obey all His words. Because obedience is the key to blessings. When we obey, God will bless us. God will surely bless us. So obedience is the key. And Jesus demonstrated to us that He was obedient to God the Father. And we, in the same way also, should obey His commandments. The word of God. Hallelujah. And we thank God for the fact that we can present our body as a living sacrifice because of the fact that Jesus did it all on the cross. When He died on the cross of Calvary, when He shed His own precious blood, what He did for us, God laid on Jesus all our sins. He carried all our sins. And because sins were born by Christ, sins were subdued. No more sin. Sins don't rule in our lives anymore. Because sins are already subdued. And Hebrew 1 verse 3, it says that our sins are purged. Not by soap, but by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Our sins are purged already. And it frees us, hallelujah, to come before the Holy God. We have no more sins. God has blotted our sins even. Cross out our sins. No more sins. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And therefore, we can never thank Jesus enough for what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. He purged our sins. He blotted it. Sins are no more imputed in us because righteousness has been imputed to us. Not because of our righteousness, but because of His righteousness, we are made righteous. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our cloth is the white cloth of righteousness. It's God-given, not man's given, but it's given by God. And we wear the cloth of righteousness because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And our sins are forgiven already. Oh, what a good news to us. All our sins are forgiven. Not only forgiven, but forgotten. The problem with man, that man cannot forget sins. But God forget our sins. Not because he has become forgetful or something wrong has happened in his mind, but the fact that he forgives our sin and forgets all our iniquities and sins. It's good news for those who really want to experience the blessings of being released in the captivity of sins that bind us and make us, you know, just like a crippled man who cannot walk straight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is very good. It's also say that our sins are covered. You know, in this, you know, I don't think we have the same atmosphere in Indonesia. You know, all the papers in Indonesia, including the so-called spiritual papers, like to expose people's flaws, people's mistake. You know, they sell like meat. Yeah, people are exposing the mistakes of others. People tend to judgment. People tend to point fingers at others, not realizing the three fingers are pointing at themselves. This is what's going on all over the world, including Indonesia. It's not so easy, including the pastors. Well, we enjoy the past days when we respect the pastors, when we always say good of the pastors, no longer now, because, you know, people tend to point fingers at pastors. But I thank God, because God covered our sins. Hallelujah. Sins are not to be exposed. Mistakes are not to be exposed. Our flaws are not to be exposed. It's covered by Jesus himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He covered our sins. It's also said in Psalm 103 verse 12 that our sins are removed far from us. It's removed already. We want to, sometimes he like to be near to sins. But he removed already. Thank God for what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. He did remove all our sins. Hallelujah. No more sins. I like that song. No more sins. No more sin. Hallelujah. It's a fact. Hallelujah. Because Jesus did it for us. He intentionally did it for us. He was not playing. He's serious. He did it for us. Sins are blotted. And sins cast behind God back. God does not entertain. He doesn't like to see sins, you know, rule in our life. He is at his back so that he cannot see. Sometimes we like to see sins in others. You know, we enjoy probably looking at sins. But Jesus put it on his back, never to see again. Praise the Lord. And I was telling you, sins are forgotten and cast into the depth of the sea. It's cast into the depth of the sea already. You want to swim and go get it again? No more. Many people want to swim and, you know, want to get it back. God has cast it down deep into the sea. Praise God. And therefore, we are free to give our life, our body as a living sacrifice. We are to do, we can do what God wants us to do. You know, we can come near him. Every one of us has the capacity, because God gives us the capacity. God gives us talents. We can approach him. We can minister to him. We can do something on his behalf. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can come near to him and present our lives to him. In whatever aspects of our lives, we can give our lives to be a sacrifice to him, a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. And I want you to read in the book of Leviticus chapter 1. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the book of Leviticus, we will see how the people of Israel would come to the tent of meeting and offering the sacrifice to God. I want to read from the first verse. It said, "Now the Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting before the Lord." So when the people of Israel come before the Lord through the priest, they must bring offering to him. And it said that the offering should be a male without blemish, without flaws. Everyone who comes near God, we have to come to him holy, because he is a holy God. We have to come to him so that we fulfill the requirements. Because God is holy, we have to come before him also with a holy life, flawless, no flaws at all. Just like the animal that is offered to God, without blemish. And it's a free will offering. You have to offer to God, give to God freely. Yeah, somebody wait until somebody else force him to do. Or I don't know. But we have to come to God offering, a free will offering to God. It comes from the heart that is already sanctified by the word of God. We can give something to God if it's given by the heart that is already sanctified by the word of God. God wants us to give a free will offering. In Indonesian, it said, paksa-paksa means you have to force somebody and give. Sometimes in the churches also, the pastor are trying to put stress on this and pressure the people, but this is a free will offering. Hallelujah. It is pleasing to God. Hallelujah. And we read in the Bible that the animals that is presented to God can't be old animal, 1.5 years, because it's the meat is easy to eat. You know, can you imagine a meat of an animal, a very old animal, and you eat like a rubber and you can't swallow it because it, you know, it stay in the mouth like that. God wants to eat our sacrifice. Hallelujah. Don't you know that? God wants to eat and make sure that it is nice. It is enjoyable. You know, it's good meat, not a rubber kind of meat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So present to God that kind. Because two verses in this chapter, verse 3 and verse 10, it said that the offering should be without blemish, just like Christ. Christ is a perfect sacrifice, sinless, holy. And in the same way, we also have to present to God, just like Jesus, give to him the best of what we have. Hallelujah. And it is acceptable to God. This word accepted is repeated several times. God wants to accept our offering to him, our sacrifice to him. Make sure that our offering is accepted before God. Hallelujah. And if it's accepted, then it's good. Hallelujah. I'm accepted in this place. And I thank God. I heard his voice yesterday. And I know that something is good going on in the air. And when I met him this morning, praise God, I could see his face. Praise God. He's a servant of God, of course. Because remember also that the Pentecostal church in Indonesia is working together with the Foursquare church. So when we are out of Indonesia, we are called a Foursquare church. 2 years ago, I was in the Philippines, attended the World Pastors Conference there for 14 days, and I was introduced as the Foursquare pastor from Indonesia. So I am a Foursquare pastor, hallelujah, now preaching in Foursquare Church, praise God, only by God's grace, hallelujah. And I hope the pastor here can sometime at God's time come to Indonesia and I could take him places and share the message, because we are Foursquare pastors. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the offering that was presented to God was without flaws. No blemish at all. And it said also in verse 9, verse 13, and verse 15, it's repeated 3 times, that the offering is to be wholly consumed. Nothing is left. Wholly consumed. God wants to consume our sacrifice. And he wants to consume all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you eat something very nice, you enjoy the food. And you will tell other people, oh, go to the restaurant. It's nice. The food is nice. Chinese restaurant, very, very nice. You know, God wants to consume our sacrifice. God wants to consume our lives also. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Make sure that our lives taste good. Taste delicious. Praise the Lord. I hope I am making sense. Praise the Lord. Consumes all, burnt all, nothing is left. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm enjoying the food in America, in the States, you know. Well, everywhere I go, all food is, you know, just delicious. And I usually do not eat a lot, but I'm forced to eat large portions, you know. I could only finish half, you know. I'm thinking, maybe if I stay in the States for 3 months, I will grow like most of you are, because, you know, when you are what you eat, you know, whatever you eat, you will become like the thing that you eat, the food that you eat. Hallelujah. And therefore, God wants us to eat the manna from heaven, the word of God. If you eat the word of God, if you consume the word of God, you will grow. You will be strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope that you eat the word of God. Manna from heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus, the word. Hallelujah. John 1:1. We eat him. Because in the same way, he enjoys eating us also. Hallelujah. I mean, our sacrifice. He enjoys consuming it. Make sure we are, you know, like food, nice to eat. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Maybe I am speaking in a very strange expression, but may God help. Because I've been translating since 1980 in Indonesia. I've been translating for quite a long time, and I preach also in English services in Jakarta. But, you know, I study English in the university. So please forgive me. Otherwise, I'm not making sense at all. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Please forgive me. So it's wholly consumed. It's wholly consumed. It's also said that this kind of flesh, that this kind of meat should be a sweet smelling, sweet savor unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I watch TV and I see when ladies wear perfume, very expensive perfume, made in Paris probably, and this man, you know, they like to... Hallelujah. Make sure also that our lives is smelling, you know, smelling savor unto God. He wants to smell us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You like the smell of perfume? I like it. Perfume. Hallelujah. Sweet smelling, sweet savor. And the Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. People could easily know who we are. We can't pretend. People will easily know. You know, when we talk, we eat together, we go places together, people will immediately know who we are. Just like I was saying, you know, I really enjoy the day. I see something in the pastor's face. Something of the glory of God reflecting out of him. And I'm accepted in this place. I was given a chance to speak today. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. I could easily know he's a very good pastor. Sometimes when you go to a church, you can even share testimonies. Because people are, people are very suspicious. Now, well, who is this man? Otherwise, he will destroy, you know. Maybe he will not bring blessings, but rather will destroy. But I thank God because I know that God has united us with the pastor. Yeah. United us in his word. United us in his Holy Spirit, by his Holy Spirit. We are united by the truth of the word of God. We are united by everlasting values. And, you know, we are brothers in Christ. No suspicions. Hallelujah. Because I am short. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, it's a sweet smelling. God wants us to smell. I would like you to read in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. Hallelujah. I borrowed this Bible, and difficult for me to pinpoint places, chapters. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 2 and 3, it says, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So we are exposed to many people. People could read us. We are like things for sale on the table of table for all to see. You know, we are an open letter for all to read. Praise the Lord! People read the letter; they know us, and they want to read the good things. Not the bad things, the pleasant things, not the unpleasant things. They want to watch carefully. They want to read our lives. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we are transparent. People can look at us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants us to live this life, a life that is pleasing to him, for all to see that God is in us. That his word is really, or his words filled our lives so that we can carry on this life, and this life will be a blessing to many. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You want your life to be an open letter, not a closed letter? We are not a closed letter. We are an open letter for all to see. People read our lives. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Is that English? I don't know. I'm thinking in Indonesian concept. People are reading us like an open letter wherever we go. Hallelujah. And therefore, it's important that we worship God. Worship means to give the best. A theologian said that worship is no more than giving the best to God, honoring God in your thoughts, in your words, and especially in your actions. Everything about us, the best of our minds, the best of what we say, the best of what we do, we give to the Lord. That is worshiping God, giving the best to God. Hallelujah. And just like this morning, when the singers, the worship leader led us in singing, I felt something great. We pray for those who lead us in prayer because they condition our hearts to meet God. Hallelujah. And it's just fine. Hallelujah. We feel that really we are worshiping God. Give the best to Him. And it's a bullock. You know, it's a bullock. It's the animal that is to be presented to God, to be offered to God. Bullock. Why bullock? Because bullock is a burden animal. And this animal never complains, you know. When he carries the burden, the more you put on his back, he will just go. He will never complain. Hallelujah. God wants us to be like that burden animal, you know. Sometimes we are so burdened, you know, so burdened, but no complaint at all. Hallelujah. No fighting back, praise the Lord. No opening of mouth. Just be quiet. Shut up and do your job. Do your best for Him. Hallelujah. Am I making sense? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I heard when your pastor said you're going to protest, you know, because in Indonesia we know already, we watch TV, how the president, your president also agreed on the same-sex marriage. And, you know, it makes us cry. What happened? What is going on? But I know God will win. We will win. Hallelujah. Whatever scheme, the government, whoever behind all these schemes, we know that God at last will win. We will be victorious. Hallelujah. Thank for the pastor also. Thank for the members of this congregation who will go down, you know, shouting a protest. Protest against this same-sex marriage. Really, praise the Lord. God is going to win. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is going to win. Hallelujah. He has always won. He's going to win. Hallelujah. And we will win also. Praise the Lord. So, it's a bullock, a burden animal, very strong animal, no complaining animal. Hallelujah. We have to be like that animal. Oh, what is this again? Money again? What is this again? You know, but this animal, put more on my back, more on my back, more on my back, because we are looking to Jesus. We are looking to God. We are looking to the rewards that God is going to give to us. Hallelujah. Christianity is always with rewards. We are not doing for nothing. We are doing for something. God is going to reward us. Hallelujah. In our fellowship with Him, He will surely give us reward. Nobody says amen. I don't know. I like speaking to Indonesian congregation. God will surely reward you. Hallelujah. Is my English clear? I don't know. God is going to reward you. Hallelujah. At the end of this roadway, it's probably difficult, you know, with lots of pressure, problems, etc. But at the end of the road, there is a reward waiting for us. Praise the Lord. You believe in that? There's reward waiting for you? Hallelujah. We are heaven bound, not earth bound. We are looking up, not down. Hallelujah. When we look down, we are confused, you know. We become stressful. But when we look up to God who gives all, rewards us, then there is reason to serve Him. There's reason to work for Him. Praise the Lord. And yes, a bullock and also a lamb. Why a lamb? Wow. A lamb also is a very special animal because lamb have horns, you know. Even big horns. But God has so designed that the horns of the sheep, the lambs, are pointing backward. It's only for show, you know. Big horns, but pointing backward, not pointing forward. And sometimes we are not acting like lambs. You know, we are using the horns to, you know. Wow, I don't know. It's strange. It's just strange because God designs the animals' horns like that, pointing backward, not forward. Not designed for fights. Hallelujah. Not designed for vengeance. Not at all. So the animal is a typology. It's a type of Christians who really, you know, not fighting, not rebelling, but to submit to God. When God says something, here I am, Lord. I will do your word. Hallelujah. I will do exactly what you say to me. No fighting, no resistance. Praise the Lord. That's the animal that will that represents or typifies our life, our service to God. May I pray to God that God will, you know, continually revealing to you what you should know, because I'm very limited in many ways. I'm really limited in many ways. And you have the pastor. He's a teacher. His experience, I know. It's not easy to pastor a church in America. I know. I am pastoring Indonesian people. Not so difficult, you know. Pastoring an American, you know, your head full of, you know, everything is in here, computerized sometimes, filled with technology, everything. I'm very simple. I'm limited. But I know I serve an unlimited God, unlimited in His power, unlimited in His knowledge, unlimited in everything. Then He will open your spiritual eyes to see what is important for us, what is needed in our spiritual growth in following Jesus. Hallelujah. I think that's all. Yeah, Jonah spoke only for 8 words, no more than 8 words. And it's words of punishment. In 40 days and nights, Nineveh shall be, you know. May God bless. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.